Hello and welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As always, I want to let you know that if you want more information about Divine Intervention Radio or to hear any of our podcasts, you can go to my website, divineinterventionradio.com. Well, friend, I have a wonderful testimony in store for you today. I had the privilege of meeting a very interesting woman. Her name is Marta Greenman. And, you know, it's just amazing how God gets a hold of some people and can change lives. You know, we feature a lot of miracle stories and testimonies on Divine Intervention. And one of my favorite types is a changed heart, a changed life. Well, our special guest, Marta Greenman, is no exception to that. She has a very interesting story about how God reached in and changed her life. She actually found salvation and embraced the Lord into her life inside an abortion clinic, of all places. It's a really cool testimony, and you're going to be inspired by this. Here's a little bit about Marta Greenman. In 1998, the Lord called Marta out of corporate America. She responded in obedience by joining a church planting organization where she traveled the world, co-leading churches in evangelism and discipleship programs. In 2001, Marta and her husband Marshall founded Ruth Ministries International, which ministers in Romania. In 2011, Marta founded Words of Grace and Truth, whose mission is to teach God's word to the nations and to teach others to do the same. Today, Marta writes additional discipleship material, teaches, and speaks internationally. Her book is called Bound to Be Free, and it's a Bible study on healing. And her website is wogt.org, and it is my pleasure to welcome Marta Greenman right now on Divine Intervention. Marta, welcome to Divine Intervention. You are on, and thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Daniel. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I was very excited when I heard your testimony. We met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the Women's Breakfast, of all places, and I was just absolutely thrilled and blown away by your story. So we said a little bit about you in the bio here, but why don't you take us to the beginning and tell us what it was like for you growing up?
Well, I had a wonderful family, godly parents who took me to church, you know, anytime the doors were open. But just because you're in a garage doesn't make you a car, and just because you're in a church doesn't make you.
And that is so true.
For my life, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in the church, and you know, how did your life go?
Well, as I said, my parents were wonderful, and I had a very typical growing up, shall I say, and until about the age of about 7.
Okay.
And my parents moved into a new home that they had really struggled to save money to build and to buy, and shortly after we moved into the home, I was sexually abused by someone outside of the home, of course, and that really just had a devastating effect on my life.
Wow.
And I kept it secret. I didn't tell my mother because my mother was very insistent, you need to stay away from this person. And I thought that it was my fault, of course, because I didn't listen to her.
So your mother had an idea that this person was bad news?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But obviously they got to you beforehand or at some point.
Yes.
So, wow, I'm sorry to hear that. It's so tragic when you hear of young girls getting taken advantage of. And, you know, from the people I've been speaking with, it seems to be a lot more common than you might think. Do you have any statistics that talk about, you know, how frequent this abuse is?
Well, it is much more frequent than people care to even talk about. And unfortunately, statistics are really not a good accurate count.
Okay.
Because, like in my own case, I did not even speak about it until I was in my early to mid-30s.
Wow.
And so, you know, statistically, it's at least one in every four children who are abused. Mm. What is the true statistic that we're talking about?
Right. Yeah, I've heard numbers as far as that high. And to me, I don't know, that just sounds like a very high percentage. But then again, from a lot of people I've talked to, it's it can be, I think it's accurate, you know? Amazing stuff. So how did this event, this tragic event, change your life going forward?
Well, I grew up very controlling. I wanted to control my entire environment because I was determined that nothing like that was ever going to happen to me again.
Okay.
And I had this place in my heart that I was trying to fill because I knew that there was something missing. Now, shortly after that event, I walked forward down the aisle, you know, shall we say, in church, and I was trying to get rid of one sin in my life.
Mm.
Have an understanding of getting rid of the sins of my past, the present, and future. And so if you would have asked my mother, you know, at that young age, I was a believer in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And although I had a head knowledge of who Jesus was, I didn't have a heart knowledge.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I understand there's a difference between being a believer and being a follower or just totally understanding it. And again, everybody is at different places in their journey. It takes a lifetime, really, of learning and growing in God's family. But at least you did have a head knowledge and an acknowledgement of Christ at a young age, so that's a good thing. What happened going forward from there?
Well, I really live my life very performance-based. Always tried to please my parents and make them happy. I made good grades in school. I sang in the choir. I played music. I was in drama, played volleyball, just really various activities. But then it was like I led a double life.
Okay.
I started smoking at a very young age, drinking, and, you know, went searching for love in all the wrong places.
Hmm. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Missouri.
Okay.
I'm sure many of you have heard the town, Joplin, Missouri.
Which, oh, yeah.
A tornado that happened this past year.
Right, right.
That was my hometown.
Did you have family that was affected by the tornado?
I did have some family that was affected by the tornado.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, it was all material. It was not anything to do physically.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you grew up in Joplin, Missouri, and you're taking a turn for the worse, I guess you could say, you know, living your life, looking for love in all the wrong places, and you eventually found yourself in some pretty rough situations in your early adult years. Tell us about that. What happened?
Well, I actually had my first abortion at 17.
17. Wow.
Yes.
That's young.
And many people that are from a background of sexual abuse, they either take two roads, and one, they find themselves very sexually promiscuous, or one, they don't want to have anything to do with men whatsoever.
Hmm.
And in my case, it was that I was very sexually promiscuous. And unfortunately, I think what happens is that you don't mindset that you can say no.
Hmm.
And obviously, your value in yourself is not very... is not where it should be, shall I say.
Okay.
So you just go down this road and you allow people to lead you into situations that you don't feel like you have permission to stop, to say no.
Okay. And this was a common theme throughout your life growing up?
It was a common theme.
Okay. So you had your first abortion at 17, and I remember you telling me at one point that you did get married early on as well?
I got married at 18. It was that rebellious spirit in me. Of course, my mother, I graduated high school very young.
Okay.
I was only 17, and I wanted to go away to go to school, and my mother was like, absolutely not. I'm not allowing my 17-year-old to go away. And so the day I turned 18, I announced I was getting married, and there was nothing she could do to stop it.
Wow.
And I look back today and just see how rebellious I was at that state in my life.
Well, your mother... You know, she didn't want you to go away. She was very protective of you, I guess. Or what do you think that was from? Yeah.
I felt that looking back today, you know, I probably have wanted my 17-year-old to run away and go to college either.
Okay. Yeah, it can be different out there, you know. I had my first experience at college at 18, and it was very different, you know, living on your own. There's a lot of growing up to do. There's also a lot of temptation, and, you know, it's just... goes along with the territory. We're speaking with Marta Greenman, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. So, Marta, after this now, did you actually realize that you were lacking God in your life or direction? I mean, how did the realization of God come into your life, let's put it that way, that you really needed to accept Jesus and turn your life over to him?
Well, after I got married, I actually up getting divorced by the time I was 21 and decided that money was the way that I could be happy.
Okay.
And it turned out that I was pretty good at making money. And I was in radio and television and marketing and advertising and was really living the life that any 20-something-year-old would think that, oh, they have it made. They have everything going. And so by the age of 29, I found myself back in an abortion clinic.
Hmm. Wow.
And I did what I always did. I had an abortion. I hid my sin. Because the way that I lived my life was, you know, I knew who God was. I knew that He was holy. I knew that He was this, that Jesus was the Son of God and that He came to earth to die for the sins of the world. But after everything that I knew, I was convinced that there wasn't any way that He would forgive me because I knew what I had done. I knew my sins. I knew how desperately wicked my life was. So why would God forgive me?
And when you went into this clinic the second time, was there anyone there to try and counsel you or to explain to you what you were doing, maybe offer you an alternative, I don't know, maybe adoption, or just try and help you to get through this without going through with it?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Wow.
Every clinic that I know about doesn't offer anything like that. Now, I mean,
aren't they supposed to?
From my understanding, they're supposed to give a woman choices, but I was never even offered a choice. It was like, you're pregnant, and this is what we need to do about it. You're in a crisis pregnancy, and this is the way that we go. I believe I sent this information to you. There was some articles stating that 43% of all women in America have had abortions.
43%. Yeah, this is an interesting statistic. We talked about this earlier. And to me, that number is shocking. That is very, very high. That's almost one in two. And I remember after you were sharing your testimony at the women's breakfast at NRB, I mentioned that to you. And then later on, you came up to me, and we had a table of about, what, 8 or 10 women there, something like that. And you'd said afterwards, after you shared what you'd gone through, two other women from that very same table confided in you that they had had abortions as well. So that's what, three out of 10?
Yes.
So that was an eye-opener for me. I didn't realize it was so common. So let's say if there's someone out there right now who's maybe they find themselves pregnant and in a situation where they don't know what to do, they're considering an abortion, what would you say to them?
Well, fortunately, crisis pregnancy centers that do offer some alternatives, like the church that I'm involved with, they have a crisis pregnancy center, and they offer many alternatives of the mother walking them through and helping them keep the child, or adoption alternatives. And one of the things that I do like, great state of Texas, that our governor has just done, is that women are required to have sonograms before they have an abortion.
Hmm.
And so they can actually see that is a life.
Right. Well, I definitely believe that. From my own perspective as a man, obviously I have no idea what it's like to be pregnant or to go through an abortion. But I remember in high school, I was pro-choice. You know, I argued, you know, both sides of the issues. I knew all the issues, and I actually did debates on it in high school. I just didn't think it was wrong. I just didn't know what it all entailed, I guess, as far as from a spiritual aspect. But I had a friend who was pro-life, and she would always be challenging me about it and giving me pro-life tracts and things like that. And I remember it got to the point where she would always be, you know, talking to me about it, and we would get in arguments, and I said, you know what, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore, because it was just, you know, we were just ending up fighting about it. But I have to tell you, with all the arguing and with all the research I did and all the debating, it wasn't man who changed my mind. Several years after that in high school, I guess I was in about college age, I was taking my faith a lot seriously and seeking after the Lord. And I literally woke up one day and God had changed my mind overnight. The Lord suddenly brought all these scriptures to my mind, like in the book of Jeremiah where God says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and set you apart." I am the God of the living, not of the dead. So literally, it was God himself changing my mind. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. How could I have thought this? You know, forgive me for thinking this and believing this. So no amount of arguing or facts could have changed my mind. And that was really something for me. That was a real realization. So I want to encourage you out there, you know, if that's you and you maybe just don't know if abortion is right or wrong, maybe you're pro-choice, I just want you to ask God to reveal to you what the answer is, and he will change your heart, believe me, if you're really open to wanting to do God's will and do it his way. So Marta, getting back to your story, can you explain to us, what is it like going into an abortion clinic and to going through with this procedure?
It's been over 20 years since this has happened. So I've had to really sit and contemplate some of these things. And what I really remember is when I was sitting there, I would have loved to tell me, you don't have to go through with this.
Wow. Let that be an indictment against the church, against us. There's, you know, there's a lot of hurting women out there.
There are a lot of hurting women. And today, you know, 20 years later, I've had the opportunity to talk to many women about this. And I know, Daniel, that you know that I have spent much time in Romania. And
right.
Next to America, Romania has the highest abortion rate per population than any other country in the world.
Why do you think that is?
I think that under Ceausescu, they were not allowed to have abortions. Actually, when they went in once a month to pick up their food stamps, which the government gave to everyone, that was the only way that people could purchase food, was they were given pregnancy tests, and they were tracked to see if the ladies were pregnant, because Ceausescu was raising a society and an army of workers. And so life there was not about family. It was about a workforce. It had no value.
Wow, that is crazy. So by the time the Ceausescu regime fell and women were allowed to get abortions, why do you think the pendulum swung so far to the other extreme with the abortion rate going through the roof? Was this a cultural rebellion against Ceausescu's regime and everything it represented, or do you think there was more to it than that?
Well, I think it even had more to do with, by the time, you know, women had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children, they couldn't feed the children.
Oh, wow.
They would have conversations about, you know, sending the older ones out, that we just can't take care of you anymore. And so talk about a desperate situation. You know, I have never been in that situation. It's like, I'm going to have another mouth to feed, and I can't even feed the ones that I have. What good would I be? Why should I continue doing this?
Right. Wow. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and our special guest is Marta Greenman, and she's talking about her life and what she went through. Some pretty horrible situations, but you know what? There is good news, because in the midst of the darkness and your struggle, you had a conversion experience where the Lord came into your life actually at the abortion clinic. Tell us that story.
Well, because I wanted to really inflict pain on myself when I was having the abortion, I would not allow them to give me any anesthesia.
Wow.
I really knew what I was doing. You know, I've never not known someone who was pregnant that actually had a child, but it didn't come out as a child. And so pregnancy always leads to a birth. And I didn't allow them to give me any anesthesia, but then they wouldn't let me leave. I had gone there by myself, so I had to call someone to come and pick me up. They put me in the room, they shut the lights out, and I was there for 2 to 2.5 hours by myself. And it was almost like a movie scene, that I could sit and I could watch every single thing that I had done in my entire life.
Wow.
And I knew how displeasing that would be to God. I knew my sin. No one ever had to come and tell me, you know, you are a sinner. And what I needed to hear was the grace of God. And that's what I found in the abortion clinic that day.
When you say that's what you found, the grace of God, how did you realize that? How did this come to you?
Well, as I was looking at that tape, God, in His grace and His mercy, He came to me, and He showed me people in God's Word, like David, Moses, Paul, and they all had something in common that I had in common. They had all killed someone.
Yes, that's true. Wow. Well, that must be very, very encouraging to know that God can use people like that. So, friend, I want to let that be an encouragement to you. If you don't think that God can use you because you're not perfect, well, think again. Paul was a murderer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Moses was a murderer. Didn't he have a stuttering problem as well?
Yes, he did.
And yet God used him to speak to Pharaoh. Noah got drunk, and God used him to save the entire world. Peter denied Christ 3 times, and yet he became an amazing evangelist. So just don't let your sins or your shortcomings lead you to believe that you can't be used by God. So, Marta, after this, this realization and this tape that you saw, what happened when you walked out of that abortion clinic?
I felt free. I knew that something had changed. Prayed out to God, and I'm like, you say that you love me. I don't know how you could, but take me, fix me, change me, make me into the person that you want me to be. I know what I had done all my life to try to control everything, to try to make myself look perfect, to try to be perfect, to try to live up to that standard that I knew that it would take to get into heaven. And no matter how much I tried, I failed.
Friend, I want to encourage you. We are speaking with Marta Greenman. We're going to take a quick break, but coming up, we're going to hear how God changed her and restored her and is now doing wonderful things through her and her ministry. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. This is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my books, Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, is an emphatic yes. Contained within each book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and AIDS through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
This is Annie with the Annie Moses Band, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
divine intervention is supported by Greasecar Vegetable Fuel Systems. Greasecar Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Greasecar kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
Tired of political correctness?
I'm offended, therefore I am.
Tired of nothing making sense?
What is controversial about not killing your children?
Waiting for someone to tell it like it is?
To say that it's a peaceful religion, you have to reject all of its history.
The wait is over. The greatest battle isn't between good and evil. It's between truth and lies.
The most powerful weapon in the world is the truth.
Join Cloud 10 Pictures, Kevin Sorbo, and experts from across the nation as they tackle 12 big lies that are destroying our world.
What if the world we think exists doesn't?
Human beings are in some way twisted.
Women are clearly better. Make sure my wife knows I said that.
The industrialized world is dying.
According to the Quran, I deserve to be killed.
This is a holy war.
God exists. No way around this.
And if he existed, wouldn't you want to know?
See the world as it really is. Get the 12 biggest lies today. Available now at selected retailers and online everywhere.
Hey, this is Ken Shamrock, UFC heavyweight world champion. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, hosted by Daniel Fazina.
First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer, working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I'm going to get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255.
Have you heard the story about the terrifying dragon created by God?
Dragons, just the word, conjures up all these images.
They look like big reptiles with long tails, with scales, sharp teeth, claws.
They're carnivorous and they're basically going to gnaw your face off.
Could actually be stories about what we today call dinosaurs.
Marco Polo's writing about dragons. Alexander the Great's talking about his giant lizard.
How did the people who carved that stone 800 years ago have carved a stegosaur?
Where in the world did all those images come from?
Do you believe in dragons or dinosaurs?
Try to explain away human encounters with creatures which we would call dragons.
Creation or evolution?
Clearly, science has shown this dinosaur died out very recently.
This is one of the greatest paleontological discoveries ever.
Man or God?
Confirms the Bible's history that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time.
Cloud 10 Pictures proudly presents Dragons or Dinosaurs, DVD and book. Ask for it at fine Christian retailers everywhere.
Hi, this is Jay Jackson, lead singer for Apologetics, that Christian parody band, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with our good friend Daniel Fazina.
So I can keep scraps of scripture in my mind. I sleep peacefully, 'cause God's my security.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Marta Greenman. She is an author, a minister, a Bible teacher, and a missionary. Her website is wogt.org. Now, before the break, we were talking about how Marta actually found God's grace and salvation in an abortion clinic. Welcome back, Marta.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me back.
So, Marta, before the break, you were sharing with us how you actually found God and salvation in an abortion clinic after your second abortion, and you came out feeling free, like God had cleansed you and set you free. And this obviously changed the direction of your life. So what happened from there?
Well, amazingly, there were so many changes going on in my life, Daniel. I was getting ready to get married. I moved to Dallas, Texas. I had a new job. And so there were so many changes. I started my new position. Within a week of being at that job, there was a note on my desk from my boss inviting my new husband and myself to a Bible study.
Okay.
And so I went home and I asked my husband, do you want to go to this Bible study? And he said, yes, your boss invited us, so I guess we have to go.
Now, was your husband a believer at this point, or, and did he know what had happened to you?
Yes, that's a very long story, yes, and he did know what had happened to me.
Okay, and how did he take it?
Well, God is amazing how he heals people, but sometimes he allows us to go through some difficult circumstances.
Sure.
To reach that healing. And for my husband, I do know that there were several times that he really struggled with bouts of being depressed.
Okay. And this was due to?
I believe this was due to him not saying that, keep the child.
Okay, so this was his baby?
This was his baby.
Okay. Well, did you make this decision with him? Or were you just like, I'm going to go through with this kind of, and you don't have any say?
Well, what happened was planning on getting married, and I found out I was pregnant. And he went out to get some exercise after a very long discussion that we had about it. It was a very good discussion.
Okay.
And then I went out on the balcony, and I started smoking cigarettes. He saw me. He came back in. We got into an argument, and he told me, I don't care how much I love you, I can't watch you kill yourself. His mother had died from cancer.
Mm.
And so, you know, because emotions were high, it really triggered something within him. That he thought I was going to end up dying just like my mother ended up dying.
Okay.
And so I went back to Missouri, and we did not speak about it, no, but it was like an unwritten, he knew that's what was going to happen.
I see. Okay.
And I came back to Dallas by myself, and that was when I went to the abortion clinic.
Okay.
As I said earlier, I went by myself.
Right, right.
And so the only person that I knew in Dallas was him.
Okay.
And so after I had to call someone, he was the only person that I had. I was ended up in the room for 2.5 hours by myself, waiting on him to finish up some work to come and get me.
Okay. So he did come and get you. And how did he handle your conversion experience at this clinic, let's say?
I didn't share that with him because, to be honest, I really didn't know what had happened to me. I knew I was different. I knew that I had called out to God, but you have to remember, I was raised in the church.
Right. Okay.
And so I would have said at that time, I just rededicated my life to God.
Okay.
And he knew I was different, but I had stopped. I didn't go, you know, out drinking anymore. I didn't do the things, but he thought I stopped drinking because I stopped smoking and, you know, just some various things. And he knew that I was searching out for God, but I couldn't communicate that to him.
I see. So you eventually got invited to a Bible study with your husband. And how did that go?
God used that Bible study to make my husband fall in love with the Bible study. And he was determined we were going to go every single week. And God used that Bible study in a powerful way. And the essence of the Bible study was to go line by line through the Bible. And they would start in Genesis and they would go to Revelation. And the first time it took 15 years to do that.
Wow.
The Bible study is still doing the same thing. And so it's now been through the Bible 3 times.
That's great.
After we were there for about a year and a half, then God led us to the church that we have been to ever since.
Okay.
That the pastor just simply asked people to bow their head, and if they had never asked Jesus to come into their life to raise them. And my husband raised his hand.
And you'd been married about 2 years at this point, you said?
I'd been married about 2 years at that point.
Okay. Wow, that's great. So now I understand that you're both obviously following the Lord, and your life has taken quite a different change since that point, because you were working in corporate America, and now tell me how God called you out of that into full-time ministry.
Well, my first experience in ministry is about 6 to 9 months after I was saved. I went and did prison ministry.
Wow.
So I was sitting there, and I was talking to one of the first ladies that I had started communicating with, and I was telling her a story about Peter on the road to Damascus.
Peter on the road to Damascus. Okay, I have a feeling there's a second part to this story.
Yes. And no, Peter was never on the road to Damascus.
Right.
That we know of. That it was Paul. And about halfway through, I realized I just continue on. And God in his grace and mercy, the woman, you know, prays to accept the Lord. And from that situation, God showed me two very important things. And one was that any old bus will do. Despite what I knew and what I didn't know, despite the fact that I had said some things wrong and done some things wrong, that God used that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was, you need to learn the Word of God.
Right.
If you're going to start telling people about it, you need to know it. And so I began to pray that he would lead me, and he did. He led me to the church where we attend, and it was a 2-year Romans induction Bible study.
Wow.
And it was like going from the frying pan into the fire. It was so far above my ability at that time. But I knew God wanted me to be there. And so I began to pray because, I was newly married. I was working 50 to 60 hours a week. And I was like, God, how am I going to do this Bible study? Because there was an hour's worth of homework a day. Bible study, you're going to have to show me how I'm going to be able to do it.
Right.
Well, almost instantaneously, he shows me a program that I had been watching on television for over 20 years. When I was in fourth grade, I had mono, and I was confined to the house.
Okay.
About 4 months. And my sister was addicted to a soap opera. And so, because she was older than I was, she had control of the television channel. And because she was addicted to the soap opera, I had to watch it every single day. And I became addicted to the soap opera. And guess how long that was? It was 5 days a week, an hour a day.
Okay.
And so, God just said, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. And so if you want different results, you're going to have to do something different.
Mm, very wise.
Very wise. And so I had a choice to make. I could do the Bible study, which was an hour a day, 5 days a week, or I could watch that soap opera, which was 5 days a week, an hour a day. And thankfully, I made the right choice.
Sure.
I decided on God's Word.
That is great. So easy to get caught up in this media culture that we live in. So many Americans watch hours and hours of TV every week, and they don't realize where their time is going. But if you just cut that back or cut it out, you'll discover all this free time that you could put towards productive things like God's Word, evangelism, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever you're called to do, you'll suddenly have all this free time to do it with. So that's wonderful. Friend, we are speaking with Marta Greenman. She is the author of Bound to Be Free. This is a book, a Bible study on healing. And Marta, would you like to talk about your book, Bound to Be Free, what it is and what people can expect when they read it?
Well, Bound to Be Free, the Bible study, is how the Lord taught me to overcome the pains in my life.
Okay.
Of freedom through his word. I found that true freedom comes from sitting in his presence and allowing the healing balm of his word to flood over our hungry souls.
Hmm. I like that imagery. And why did you write this book?
Well, if you can't tell, I know something about pain. And I'm passionate about people coming to understand the same truth. Lasting healing and restoration comes from Jesus Christ.
Hmm. Amen to that. So you want people to experience the freedom you've experienced in him through this book?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
I was reading God's word at one point in time, and there's a scripture, and it talks about the Lord. It says, who fixes the sun and the light for day, and fixes the order of the moon and the stars for the light by night. And when I read that, I'm like, okay, if God, who gives light by the sun, if he can fix orders of the moon, he can fix me.
That's right. I have a friend who, he's a healing minister and an evangelist, and he definitely believes in that. And he said, if you're still sucking wind, it's not too late. God can fix you. All you need is a little adjustment. Oh, that's great. Now, Marta, you know, this show is called Divine Intervention, and a lot of times we feature miracle testimonies. And I love talking to missionaries because they seem to tend to believe that God actually does miracles and things like that. And you've been a missionary to Romania. I want to hear about some of your experiences in the course of your missionary work in Romania or wherever it may have been.
Well, Daniel, first of all, I've heard your miracle story, and it is simply amazing to me. I've also heard...
Thank you.
...of... I know a man who had hepatitis C, mm-hmm. and was within months of going to be with the Lord, and the Lord healed him overnight.
Overnight?
I also,
wow.
Yes, overnight.
Did he have prayer for it, or how did that happen?
Yes, The elders just got together, and he was going in on a Monday for some tests. They laid hands on him. They prince of hepatitis C, and he had been in treatment for years.
Years, wow. Praise God. Jesus is the healer. That's wonderful. And you had another one, you said?
I have another friend who was diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Mm.
And... went to church on Sunday. They prayed for her. They went back the next week, and there was no sign of it, no evidence of it whatsoever.
Wow, that is awesome. I love that. You're going to have to recommend me to some of your friends. We'll have them on the shows.
Well, most of them are missionary friends, so we're praying people. And
that's great.
Prayer works.
Yes, it does. And as I mentioned before, I love talking to missionaries because they tend to believe that God still does miracles. So tell us about some of your experiences in Romania. First of all, how did you become a missionary to Romania, and what did you see God do while you were over there?
Well, in 1997, I was sitting in my church, and there was in the bulletin, there was a trip to Romania. And when I saw it, I immediately knew I had to go. And 5 weeks later, I was on a plane to Romania.
Okay. And what was your first impression when you stepped off the airplane in this foreign country? What was it like for you?
Well, that was in 1997, and so it was not very many years after communism had fell in that country. And so when I stepped off the plane, I kind of wondered, what did I get myself into? There were soldiers with Uzis walking around, and when you were landing, there were burnout airplanes on the side.
Oh, wow.
Of the runway. and smoke was everywhere because... You know, everyone was smoking, and the airport was just filled with smoke. So you're kind of wondering, where did I come to? But I have to tell you, within 24 hours, I fell in love with the country and the people.
Hmm.
They have taught me so much. And the first town that I went to, where I was assigned to, we were going door to door and talking to people. It was a village of about 500 families that had one car and one phone and one post office.
Wow.
And as we were walking down the road one day, I'm like, oh, if we have time, I would like to go in the post office and buy some stamps. I would like to mail some postcards back to my friends in America. And they were like, oh no, if you want to buy stamps, you cannot get them at the post office here. You have to go into the city. And I was quite shocked. I was like, what do you do at the post office?
I was going to say, what's the post office for then? Wow. So you can only receive mail through the post office there? Or where do you send it from? The city?
Well, you had to go into the big city, which was about an hour away.
Wow.
But what these people taught me was that people are more important than projects.
So they're relational?
Very relational. You know, we in America, we get so busy and we get so caught up in everything that we have to do. Their life was so simple in Romania. They cared about one another. And it didn't matter what we were doing. They allowed me into their home and sit and talk with me as long as I wanted to stay.
Wow. Did you find them open to the message of Jesus?
Romania is very, very different. From a communist country, Ceausescu was very, very intelligent. You know, most communist countries, they abandon the churches, they burn them down. But Ceausescu was smart. He used the church. He gathered all of the priests together and said, I will give you the messages, and if you will say what I want you to say, then your life will be very good.
Wow.
Then you'll be put in prison. So many of the Orthodox Church, you know, Orthodoxy is the state religion in Romania at this time. And so for many, many years, the message was given through Ceausescu, the dictator, of what to say to the people.
And what did they say to the people?
They promoted communism. And so the people are very, very distrustful of religion.
Okay.
And you have to earn the trust of the people or they will listen to you.
Okay.
They will talk to you all day long. They will sit and talk to you for 2, 3, 4 hours at a time, but you're not going to try to persuade them to change their belief system until you have proved to them that you are true and authentic. And so as a result, sometimes that takes years and years.
Okay. Well, you have been working there for years now, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen any fruit of your labors over there in sowing the seeds of the gospel?
There is a wonderful lady who her name was Sister Mia. She is now with the Lord. And my husband had the wonderful privilege of speaking to her. She was already a believer, but she brought in her daughter, Claudia, and my husband was able to speak to her and lead her to the Lord, and just many other people. The best opportunity, of course, is to start programs with the young.
Okay, yes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what we have seen is that with working with the younger children and the younger youth, not only as they are growing up, but the influence that they have actually been able to lead some of the older people to the Lord because their parents see how they have changed from rebellious to, you know, good children and children that love their parents.
That's wonderful. You know, I find that children obviously are close to Jesus' heart. We see that in the scriptures where he said, you know, don't prevent the children from coming to me. And I know a lot of people who are maybe not so religious, once they have children, they suddenly think about, hey, where am I going to bring my kids to church? And they want their children to have a spiritual foundation. And oftentimes it is the kids who lead the parents to saving faith in the Lord, which is really cool.
Yes, it is.
Friend, we are speaking with Marta Greenman, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I am your host, Daniel Fazina. Now, Marta, since we're on the subject of relationships between kids and parents, one question you wanted me to ask you about was the greatest lesson you learned from one of your parents. I bet you there's a story behind that one. Tell us about it.
There is a story behind that one. My mother, who is amazing, if you walk into her house at any point in time, it's immaculate. But yet, when I was growing up, I liked to cook.
Okay.
And so I made cookies a lot, and my mother gave me permission to go into the kitchen and just cook anytime I wanted to. And I remember many, many times she would come home, and there would be flour all over the kitchen. And she just came in, and she just cleaned it up for me. And as I think about that time, you know, that reminds me of my life, is that my mess, and he just cleaned it up. And he took my mess, and he made it a message.
Okay.
And so when I think back of really how my mother just emulated Jesus in those circumstances, and it's one of my fondest memories.
That is awesome. What a cool analogy. He takes our mess and makes it a message. I love that. Marta, we are almost out of time, but before we go, if there's someone out there right now who may be struggling with doubt about God, maybe doesn't know the Lord or even believe that he's real, what would you want to say to them?
I would like to say to them that they would sincerely just ask the Lord, if you are real, show me. And Jesus, if you are real, show me. And, you know, today, in today's society, there's so many things that we can get caught up in that we think is going to lead us to happiness or to success. And then what we find at the end of the road is just disappointment.
Mm.
And I can promise you, God's Word tells us that He is a God who heals disappointments. He is a God who takes our life. You know, God's Word says that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly.
Right.
And we need that abundant life for eternity, but we also need it today. And I can promise you, I've had everything that the world has to offer. I've had money. I've had nice cars. I've had many, many things. But the only thing that has filled my life and given me joy when I've had nothing is Jesus.
That is awesome. Thank you so much, Marta. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for encouraging me and encouraging our listeners here on Divine Intervention, and I wish you continued success both in your ministry in Romania and also with your Bible study ministry. Once again, her book is called Bound to be Free, and you can check out her information on WOGT.org. Thank you so much, Marta.
Thank you, Daniel.
Friend, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I hope this show has encouraged you and inspired you, just to let you know that God is real and He is still intervening in people's lives and changing them. If you have any questions or comments, email me at divineintervention@mail.com, divineintervention, all one word, @mail.com. And as always, you can check out our podcasts and archives on divineinterventionradio.com. God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope you have been inspired by the many miracle testimonies we have featured and that your faith has increased. Jesus is alive and He is still working wonders among His people today. More information about the Divine Intervention Show, free downloads and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. That's www.divineinterventionradio.com.